On the roof again. I just can't wait to get on the roof again. The life I love is laying shingles with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the roof again.
The music soundtracks are often a preview to what producer Gary does in his free time at home. One 888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. We've been talking pitched roofs. Now we're going to switch the conversation to flat roofs, but we'll still talk about your roof if you'd like to join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. What is the history of the flat roofs? Is it really just back to the flat adobe construction and people trying to keep that authentic Southwest look? Because the pitch roof, to me, makes a lot more sense because you want to shed the water off as fast as you can. Flat roofs can have a ponding tendency, and the last thing you want is a pond on top of your roof.
I think it has a lot to do with just the architectural choice when they're trying to build something. Imagine a Walmart. If you tried to put a pitched roof on that, that thing would be – you'd add another 50, 60 foot to the building just because it's so big from side to side. And most of the flat roofs are kind of in the commercial realm, at least the square footage percentage-wise. But yeah, a lot of the haciendas, they go back and they have those looks that require the flat roof.
Pretty inexpensive to build. In the first building boom, the first modern era building boom of Arizona, we would stand the walls in masonry, and then we would take a 2x12 and slope it. If we really felt generous, we'd slope it about a half inch to a foot. But it was more often about a quarter inch to the foot. And I've done houses that were literally framed flat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a Midwest carpenter moves here from Kansas in the 50s. Never rains here. Let's just put a flat roof on there. And he literally put a flat roof on there. Because if it's perfectly flat, it can't pond, right? No parapets. It just all sheds off the four edge. So it's going to find some place to go. Mm-hmm. And we've actually seen in the older historic areas of Phoenix, flat, literally flat roofs. Yeah. So they were naive when they built them, because it does rain here. We do have to deal with water. They were taking the least expensive option of all. And it did replicate kind of the early Native American Pueblo territorial style what was common in the area here hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But done right, it can be a pretty good roof. But it has to start with a little slope.
I definitely. You say quarter 12, and that is absolutely the bare minimum you should do.
What we're talking about is for every foot that rafter stretches horizontally, it needs to drop 1/4 inch. I think we've generally accepted a half inch to a foot in for ourselves to be the absolute minimum. We never want to go below that. That's about what it takes to keep from ductwork penetrations. At a 1/4 inch a foot, any obstruction, even a lap joint in the bitumen, can stop it from running off. It's just not enough.
Right.
So 1/2 inch to a foot. Talk about the different types of material. You look at a plywood decked roof that is of the flat nature. Let's assume it's sloped 1/2 inch to a foot. What are your options for now covering that plywood with a good waterproof, sunproof, sun-resistant surface?
Well, so you've got three basic categories. You've got your granulated coat topped rolled roofing. You've got your foam roofings. And you've got your thermoplastics, which are basically large plastic rolls that are, you know, each one of them has an advantage and a disadvantage. Your rolled goods, let's start with the thermoplastics. They last a long time. They can be relatively resistant to chemicals. That's what you're going to find typically on your big commercial buildings. Like I say, Walmart, Home Depot, any one of those will have a TPO or a PVC roof. After that, you've got the foam roof, which is they use it a lot in commercial, and it's also become very prevalent in residential for the simple reason you get some R value to it. Something to look out for. The commercial side is really the big mover of the flat roofs, just because their buildings are so big, like we talked
big
a minute ago. So, and they're also very conscious about not so much the cost, but the cost of the lifespan of the roof. So when they go and install a roof, they install it in such a way, they don't look at how much it cost me today. They take that money and they stretch it out. And if we add more, can we get more life out of it?
Right.
What's the average dollar cost per year? So they're going to go, instead of like a residential roof is how cheap can I get it done? So a residential is typically about an inch of foam with maybe 25 dry mils of coating on top. And that, and the
25 dry mils is about the thickness of a credit card.
Yeah, a little bit thinner, but yeah, it's pretty thin.
Yeah.
Whereas, and you get into the commercial realm, and you're typically talking anywhere from 25 to 30. And there's a calculation. The first 13 dry mils on a roof is basically your base layer. If you go anything less than that, the sun can still get through it and destroy your foam, even though it still looks white.
Yeah.
And then the other calculation you need to take into consideration is this is a sacrificial layer. It means that over time, it's just going to wear off. So the thicker you put it, the longer you can go in between putting a new layer down. So if you go, let's just call it 18 dry mils, you've only got maybe 5 years before you have to go back and recoat it. And people don't typically do that.
Right.
And then your roof starts to get hammered.
And the foam hates ultraviolet.
It's just gone.
It's just gone.
So that being said, a commercial roof, you might go up to 45 or even more dry mils, where you'll go up there and it'll literally be a 20-year roof, where on a residential house, it's just going to last 5 years and be done. And then the last one is your rolled goods, and those compose anything from a 90-pound tar paper, which is awful. Well, put it on a chicken coop, maybe.
I hate installing it.
You can't make it not leak because it tries to move and it's just bad. And then on the other end of that spectrum, you have a full SBS with a really nice top that you can probably get about 20 years out of that roof before you have to do anything. The advantages is it is cheaper, the rolled goods. The disadvantage is at the end of its lifespan, you typically have to remove and replace it, whereas a foam roof, if done right, will last longer than anybody else, but it's higher maintenance. You're constantly going back and cleaning it off and recoating it. So
I want to continue this conversation on flat roofs, but we do have Chris calling in with a question about building in the mountains. Okay. Let's see if we can talk to him about that perfect mountain cabin. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
What have y'all got planned?
Well, you know, the plan is to build a cabin up in Alpine, which is just beautiful country, as you know.
Oh, don't say it. Don't say that. Don't tell anybody. Chris, we have to keep that a secret. We have to keep that area a secret. It's been discovered by California.
Absolutely.
Man, oh, man. Okay. So we're building a house.
Don't even mention it.
I know. So we're building a house in a beautiful corner of the mountainous Arizona.
Yes,
okay.
A cabin.
Okay.
And I know that because of snow and rain up there, does the roofing person that we're talking about this morning or talking to this morning, I think it's Johnson Roofing, do they also specialize in those types of roofs? Because I think that's going to be a little different than what we do here in the Valley. Or if you can just give me a little wake-up call. What to do there? What kind of roof will I need?
That's a great call. Most of what Tyler and I have been talking about today is desert style roofing. We do have a lot of homes up in the trees and the mountains. I know what would go on my house in Alpine. Tyler, what would go on your house in Alpine?
Metal.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think twice. It would be a metal roof for the snow shedding. Mm-hmm. Capacity for the fire resistance, primarily for the fire resistance. I wouldn't even consider putting any other type of roof on a home up there.
I agree. I mean, you can look at other ones. I definitely wouldn't use tile. Shingles might work, but metal is just by far going to be the best option for what you're looking at up there.
And and y'all don't service Alpine, I don't think.
We do.
Oh, you would go to Alpine?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, there's as you develop the plans, you want to visit with someone about the different roofing options, give Tyler at Johnson Roofing a call and get the consult done here ahead of time before you get up there. So, Chris, good luck. And you are building, I believe, in absolutely one of the most beautiful corners of all of Arizona.
New Mexico, right?
Yeah, it's right there, baby.
See where I'm going.
It's right there, absolutely.
We've talked multiple times about the perfect mountain cabin would be a masonry-framed home, a metal roof, and then from there you could spend the rest of your time doing decorating, but spend the money for a colored masonry cast CMU. You can even do a split face. There's all kinds of architectural features. Put a
moisture proof, fireproof, maintenance free. I mean, when Romy first came to work for him, I said, Romy, go to the Corporation Commission and get the name Arizona Masonry Maintenance Free Homes. And I wanted to start building masonry homes in the woods that were literally maintenance-free because so many of my neighbors in the White Mountains, what do? The first 3 weeks they're up there for the summer, they're caulking and they're staining their logs and they're sanding and they're varnishing and no way, man. The house has to be switch on, switch off.
So, and the point with that is with cost of materials and especially metal, you know, metal's always been more expensive than your other types of roof. Well, it's probably even more now. But long term, it's worth that investment. And, you know, once you've got the structure and the bones that well built, man, so what if it's 5 years from now you put in that, you know, granite slab that custom found at some shop? So what if that comes later?
Now, Tyler, we've moved from sloped roofs to flat roofs. One roof material we didn't talk about in sloped roofs, do y'all do much metal roofing here in the valley on the desert floor?
It's getting more and more common.
Okay.
It's growing faster than any other segment of the roofing out there. It's about twice as expensive, even three times as expensive as some other roofs, but it is it's a maintenance-free. You put it on, you got, and I'm not going to say maintenance-free, but there is so little maintenance to it, and it's just such a sharp look compared to some of the other roofs out there. It is an absolute gorgeous roof.
It is. And it is as close to maintenance-free as a roof can be, I believe.
Yep.
Okay. We've got another caller here, Jay, calling from Scottsdale. Let's bring Jay into the conversation. A new innovation in the roof shingle industry that came out about 10 years ago. Jay, what's your question?
Well, I got two questions, but the one question was, I'm thinking about, I got to do a replacement on my roof, and I've been seeing a lot of the solar shingles and how those are very effective, but how well are they used in our area of the part of the country? Are they durable? Are they going to be sustainable? Because right now I have a tile roof on my house. And the second question to that is, instead of putting the tiles up there, do they make polyurethane type, which is less weight?
Okay, yeah. Two-part question there. The first one is, if you're talking this Tesla tiles, I would highly recommend looking into those. I'm not a huge expert on them, but I know they're insanely expensive. Solar goes very well on the roof. And the second question was the polyurethane tiles. That is another growing area of our market. It's a good product. Once again, it's a lot costlier than a typical concrete roof, but it is a really good option. And yeah, I would recommend at least looking into both of those if you're interested in them at all.
All right.
Have y'all done a solar tile roof install?
No, we have not. You have to be a certified installer for Tesla.
And those, I can't imagine what the price on that is as well. any idea?
So they've got the whole where they're cheaper than a tile roof. If you go in and factor in the lifelong energy production of the tile roof then or the solar tiles, the people that I've talked to, they're typically ranging between 80 and above six figures for those Tesla roofs. So.
Well, you're technically buying a solar system at the same time, technically.
Right.
So, okay. Pricey. Technology allows it to be an option for us today. Worth exploring. Jay, we're not too ultimately familiar with it, but we appreciate the call. And we would appreciate it if you would keep us posted, Jay, on what your decision is and which way you decide to go. I'd like to stay on top of that in particular. All right, we're here with Tyler Johnson of Johnson Roofing, talking roofing. We're going to need to be wrapping up on this segment here just right now. We come back, we'll finish talking roofing with Tyler.